I've been a lot of places, different places preaching, and if you break through, you get, you know, amen, you get the word. That sometimes without that presence of God, it's harder. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, eternal rewards. And turn to somebody else and say, is it warm in here? Anyway, okay. I'm not going to even show of hands because y'all are not going to raise your hand. But anyway, I see one, somebody fanning himself. Yeah, so that might be a clue to the ushers. I'll just leave it there. But anyway, you know, I believe in this hour God wants to make something real to us, and that he's a God that likes to reward. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You know, one of the basis for so many people discouraged today is that they're in a lifestyle day in, day out, problems, troubles, da-da-da, and they don't see the purpose of it. You know, my mom, and every once in a while, would say, well, there's a crown somewhere. And, I mean, she raised seven of us. It was nine in our family. She raised seven of us, five of them boys. So she said, there's a crown somewhere. Turn to somebody and say, there's a crown somewhere. You know, there really is. And we're going to talk about that next week, the five crowns that are in the Bible that you're going to get. You might not get all of them, but you're going to get some of them. I want at least one, amen? But God likes to reward you. You know, no one can reward you like God. There's just nobody. And I want to talk about a man today. I want to talk about Moses today. Moses understood this concept. If you think about what he went through, unbelievable, really. He was in Egypt. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was out of the water. He was raised a prince. And if you've seen the Ten Commandments more than 10 times, raise your hand. Amen. I mean, it's so amazing how, you know, articulate he was. He was a builder. And then he thought in his own strength he was going to save his people, so he killed the Egyptian. And then he fled from that. And he went across the desert. And then we know he was 40 years in the desert. Oh, my goodness. We were 4 years in Oklahoma at Lawton, but it was like a desert. I can't imagine 40. And the Bible says that Moses was eloquent in speech. But, you know, after 40 years, he told God, I can't even speak. Send Aaron with me. Interesting, the process that God takes us through before he can use us. And so Moses does that. He delivers them. And the first couple of miracles that he did, the people got mad on him because Pharaoh said, now I want you to make bricks without straw. So you're going to have to work your shift, and then you're going to have to go gather straw. And the people got mad at him. Then he goes on, they get delivered, and they cross the Red Sea, and after 3 days, again, they have no water, and again, the people are saying, why did you bring us out to kill us? Moses didn't have an easy church to pastor. I mean, it was not easy. 2.5 million people. How on earth do you meet all the needs of 2.5 million people? I don't know. But Moses had this in his heart, because if Moses wasn't convinced that God was going to reward him, he would have given up. He would have given up if he had not believed that God is going to reward him. And how many people have given up their faith or given up seeking God because they think, well, what's the point? What's the point of coming to church every Sunday? What's the point of doing my ministry? What's the point? No one recognizes me. I haven't got this great promotion yet. But guess what? It's coming. God is no favorite. He doesn't play favorites. If we meet the criteria, check, guess what? God moves on our behalf. Doesn't matter if you're man or woman, doesn't matter boy or girl. I mean, Samuel was a little boy, and God spoke to him. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to start there this morning. I'll probably teach. I don't know if I'm going to preach. We might go into that, but I want to kind of teach a few things here. Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Then it says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Everybody say the reward. There was a reward. You have a reward coming. Some translation says he was looking forward to his reward. It's interesting here because Hebrews 10:35 says, cast not away your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward. Let me tell you, not every day, but some days attacks your confidence. Not every situation, but some situations attack your confidence. Confidence is so tied to faith that you really can't separate them. My level of faith really is tied to my confidence. Confidence is something that was in Joshua. Confidence comes from the foundation of the word that means courage. Be strong and courageous. Be confident. If I fail to understand that my life here is not just to be here, but God is looking at eternity and what I'm going to do there. We, so many times, are so narrow-minded, but God said, do y'all get it yet? If I was God, I would say this. Do y'all get it yet? The reason you're here for a few years is to prepare you for where I want you in eternity. And it will be based on a reward system. It's not going to be based on how good looking somebody was, or if they won 5 Grammys, or they have the latest CD out, or money. It's going to be rewarded according to if you believed me when I gave you those talents, and what you do with those talents. Don't cast it away. Turn to somebody and say, don't cast it away. Then he says, for you have need of patience. How many heard my joke about the patients and the doctor? How many have heard that? How many don't want to hear it? Amen. Praise the Lord. So this little boy goes into the doctor's office, and it's full of people. And he hears the doctor, I guess, arguing with a nurse behind, you know, the window hadn't been opened. And the doctor says, you're supposed to be here on time. And just, you know, he's not being very, you know, he's just... And so the doctor walks out into the room after he's done, and everybody's gone except the little boy. And the doctor goes, where is everybody? The little boy goes, doctor, you lost your patience. Patience, people, and you should have raised your hand if you didn't want to hear it. Wow, okay, great. Now I feel anointed. Okay. After you've done the will of God, everybody say after. You might what? Receive. How many receive some things for Christmas? One of the things I receive is an Apple Watch. First, I didn't know if I wanted it, but you know what? I don't have to take my phone out to look at the time. And if I get a text from my wife, I can quickly get it back. Yes, honey, I'll get the milk, egg, and cheese. Thank you. Amen. Put it, I'm done. I don't pull it out and do all this stuff. For yet a little while. Everybody say a little while. Little while. He shall come and not tarry. Now, I believe that's talking about two things. Directly, it's talking about his second coming. Indirectly, it's talking about the context of the scripture of reward and confidence. God coming on this earth. You know, I can't wait to heaven to get everything. If I do, I'm going to miss out here. Number one, how many believe you need a purpose here as well as in eternity? How many believe you need finances here as well as eternity? How many know you need opportunities here, not just... How many know you need an open door here? So I look at this as the direct revelation of his coming, but also God coming to us if I don't throw away my confidence. Now let's look at these real quick. First of all, it says that Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Turn to somebody and say, you're a child of God. Listen, you're not a child of the world. You're not a child of the devil. You're not a child of what people think you are. You're not a child of culture. You're a child of God, made in his image. And just like at the beginning of the book of Genesis, when the earth was out form and void, the Spirit of God hovered over the earth, So God has hovered over our life because our lives were out of order. Our lives were void. Our lives were dark. And so God hovered over our lives to bring you to a certain church, a certain place, at a certain altar. And the Holy Spirit began the process. Aren't you glad for the Spirit of God? Aren't you glad that He's bringing order to your life? Refused, everybody say refused, to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. My identity is Jesus Christ. My destiny is Jesus. I don't love the world. I don't love the things in the world. I use the things in the world for the kingdom of God. Many people love the things of the world, even as believers. I can't separate it. Don't ever allow the world to define you. You're a child of God. God's child. King's kid. He said, I refuse. Don't tell me that I'm the son of Pharaoh's daughter anymore. That's not who I am. Moses, but she took you out of the river. In fact, your name Moses, she actually, called you Moses because I drew him out of water. It means out of water. But don't call me that. I'm a child of God. Amen. Second thing, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Wow. Those that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. They will suffer. But Moses says, you know what? I'm looking forward to my reward. Here's some of the suffering that Moses went through that we go through. Rejection. How many have ever been rejected? How many have been rejected after you got saved? Man, I was raised a certain denomination, was going to be an altar boy, and when I called up, say, Mom, got saved and everything, man, they were like, what are you, in a cult? For a year, it was hardly anybody in my family. We didn't want to talk to me. They thought I was off the wall. They didn't think I was off the wall when I had long hair, a beard, pot, and my Marshall Stack and Les Paul playing in colleges, rock and roll bands. I wasn't off the wall, but once I said I found Jesus, I was off the wall. So for about a year, listen, I hardly even was like, okay, hands up. I just grew close to God. I got in the prayer room, and I went out with other believers, and I began to realize that even my parents, they love me. They can't define who I am, because once you're born of the Spirit, the old man is gone. I'm a new creation, and you can say Bill, and you can say Billy, and you can remember Pot, but the reality is God takes us, and He adopts us into His kingdom, and we're completely different. So you don't have to allow any rejection to hurt you. Maybe you've been rejected by a spouse. Maybe you've been through a divorce. Maybe you've been through a boyfriend-girlfriend thing that just ended a mess. Guess what? Jesus can heal the rejection. Guess what? He was rejected by men so you can be healed. Give Him a praise, somebody. Second thing is separation. I love my family. When I go home to family reunions, but it's hard for me to connect to some because they're not following. They have a different thing, and I try to, okay, I don't want to be separated from them. I love my family. So I try to be, as loving and kind, not to get into controversies about Scripture and all that because it doesn't profit anything. Love covers all things. Amen. If they can really sense real love, maybe we can have a conversation. But just don't go in and separate yourself because of a disagreement. Don't do that. Go in there with love. Separation. The third thing we suffered is disdain. Disdain. Jesus bore the reproach on the cross. Not everybody's going to love you. There's countries right now that are killing Christians. The ISIS, when they beheaded Christians and they burned them alive and over there. I'm telling you, disdain for Christ. And why is that? Because there's the spirit of the Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist, John says, is in the world. The devil hates Jesus. It's Antichrist, and there's going to be an Antichrist that rises up. Thank God, I believe the church will be gone. People differ on that, but ever I'm going to be ready when he rises up. Disdain. Not everybody's going to like you. Some people come up and talk to you, and they might cuss you out, or they might just look at you wrong. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the devils using their personality to try to intimidate you. Not everybody. Some people just had a bad day. Some people are just mean. They don't want to change. But every once in a while, I'll be in situations, somebody come up and, you know what, that was the devil, because how did that guy know that, or that person, why would they say that to me? Only because there's familiar spirits and there's demons. They know how to get to your stuff. The demons know how to talk to you to get you to be discouraged. Demons know how to send people. Listen, if Peter had to be rebuked because the devil used him, how much more, he was a disciple, how much more people that aren't saved? So sometimes people will come and they'll just, the devil will unload disdain to you. What? Just say, Lord, I'd rather suffer affliction with the people of God. Amen. What do? Quickly forgive. I said, quickly forgive. No, I said, quickly forgive. I mean, within 30 seconds, it's over. You're out the door. Amen. You're on your way to McDonald's or somewhere. Well, not McDonald's, but Wegmans. How about the next one? It said he would rather suffer affliction than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Wow. Sin is pleasurable. Sin isn't. If it wasn't, it wouldn't happen. People that, have sexual intercourse outside of marriage, sure it's pleasurable. That's only for a season. But it is sin. The Bible says it's sin. How about people that cheat other people, lie to them? I had a thing, a couple years ago with our camera, they took $4,900 out of my account, my personal account, overdrafted everything. I was like, what? People don't care about you, you see, but God does. And there's pleasure for a season, but you know what? Moses discovered, like all of us do as children of God, that God is my pleasure. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Don't limit God to the pleasures of this life. Eternity is full of things we have not even thought about. God is into pleasure. God is into pleasure through righteousness, not through immorality or filthiness. God is into pleasure when it's according to His mandates. People, they get this smug thing. I've had over the years, people say, well, they'd bring sex up and I was going to be all upset. I said, well, hey, God knows more about sex than anybody. He did it. He created the everything. Really? Are you kidding? You're not going to try to impress me with your foul language about sex. I mean, that's stuff you learn when you're 12 years old in some restroom on the back of the wall. Are you kidding me? I've had people try to do that, and it just disarms them. Well, you mean God knows more about sex? I said, yes, He did. He's the creator of it. Yes, He did mean it to be pleasurable, but He also realized if it was not in the restraint of marriage, it would produce chaos. It would produce disease. It would produce people's hearts being broken. It would produce children and no fathers. It would produce things that God doesn't want. He's God. He knows He's God. He thinks He's God. And He has the right to set the standards. Say amen, somebody. Now, look at this. I love this. Hebrews 11:27. By faith, everybody say faith, He forsook Egypt. I think it's time for the church world. We need to forsake the world. Sure, go to a game. Sure, watch a movie. But I don't have my heart tied into it like I do with Jesus. Amen. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. There's a lot of, if you read the book of Acts, James was killed. Stephen was stoned. If you look, John Huss, who was he was one of the major ones to get the Bible into English. He was burned by the government and the religious church at that time. Other people that have been for the gospel have died. He said, I don't fear the wrath of the king. Don't feel the wrath. Don't let the wrath of man affect you. For he what? Endured. Everybody say endured. It's just like the Christmas decorations and everything. After 2 months, they're still enduring. And you're like, okay. So we look at each other. Who's going to start the process? You know, it's much easier in November. Oh, Christmas time. Oh, let's get this. You put little things in the bathroom on the sink and everything. And, man, about time to put them away, you're looking around and go, what was I thinking? I mean, I've got 50,000 things out, and sometimes we know what side does it. My hand itches. But anyway, it's like, okay, I got to gather these things up. And we always say, well, next year we're going real light. Sure. I mean, about November, the thing bites you. Ah! And then Hallmark has Christmas movies now from July forward, and we got to watch those, you know. So, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. Now this is the secret, as seeing him who is invisible. Wow. How do you see someone who's invisible? You only see him two ways. Number one, you see him by his writings, what he says. So you can fall in love with somebody if they wrote you these love letters and they were genuine and they displayed character, because Peter says, whom having not seen, you love. So the Bible, the greatest love book in the world, tells us about our beloved, especially in the Song of Solomon. Especially there where he's pursuing the bride. I begin to fall in love. Oh, I want to be in love with that type of person. I don't want somebody playing no jive talking games. So we can love him even though we don't see him. The second way we see him is by his presence. And although you can't see a cloud, and some people have seen the cloud of glory, all that, I don't need to see the cloud of glory. I need to feel that presence. So seeing is a perception. Seeing is one of the revelatory discernments we have. And so I'm in the presence of God. Even though I don't see a cloud, yet I am perceiving he is here. So even though I'm not seeing him, he is even here. Isn't that amazing? That's what the presence of God is. So important. Next one, he kept his focus on the Lamb of God. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Everybody say, Lamb of God. He kept his focus on the Lamb of God. That's where we need to stay, on the Lamb of God. Won't there be a glorious day when we stand before him and billions of people and angels and choirs, and there he's standing, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Just, I can't even, it's hard to conjure on the screen of my imagination that moment, but yet that's part of our reward. The end of our faith is to see Christ, the Bible says. Part of our reward is to see Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, the second part of our reward is for him to call your name. Think of it. Billions of thousands of people, millions over here singing glory everywhere, and you're standing there, and Mike Brown. I don't know if they're going to say it like that, but they might say, hey, Mike Brown, come on down here. They might say, Michael Brown, I don't know. And guess what? Here's billions of people, and they're all looking at you, and you walking down. Years ago, I asked God, what is it going to be like on that day? And God showed me, like, you know, they had those pageants, you Miss Universe and stuff, they walk down that thing. He said, each person will walk down in front of me. God told me that years ago, 20 years ago. And stand. Book of life is here. The other books are here. We'll stand there. Is your name there? Of course. You wouldn't be there. Then the books are open. And right there is going to be a reward system. There's going to be angels there. There's going to be angels there with your key to your mansion. Now, I've made a request to have mine closer to someone. But anyway, a little bit of house duty once in a while. But anyway, how about this? The reward of your authority. Some will have rule over one city, some five, some ten. As one star differs from another star, so is the resurrection, Paul said. So there'll be some type of garment you'll be given to show your authority. People that have clinically died and come back have said there was different robes of authority in heaven, but nobody was jealous of each other. It was just like that had already gone. But there was. That's there. Keys? Huh? robe of authority. The third thing, the crown. We're going to talk about next week. Paul told Timothy, you know, keep on going because there's a crown of righteousness laid up for you. There's a pastoral crown. There's a crown of righteousness. I believe there's a crown of courage. We're going to talk about that next week. So you have your keys, you have your robe, you have your crown. What else is there? There's got to be. Pastor Deb, there's something missing in the puzzle that God won't totally show us. You know, it does not appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see Him, we'll be like Him. The fourth reward is we'll be like Jesus. No more negative thoughts, no more problems. We'll be completely like the Son of God, perfect and whole and unblamed. Give God a praise, somebody. And what's the fifth reward? Now, this, I'm not talking about crowns. I'm just talking about what I believe is going to happen. God says, I ain't going to tell you what it is. Eyes not seen, ears not heard. He's a God of surprises. And I've always wondered, can't say I have scripture for this, about the universe. I've always wondered about all the planets up there that are dead and everything. I've always wondered about Moses was brought to the place where he didn't have to strike the rock, he just had to speak to it, which is a creative miracle that went beyond the natural. I'm just wondering, in eternity, does God kind of assign different parts of the universe that's always expanding? And perhaps we take a planet and we speak to it and we have angels to help us and for the glory of God and make it beautiful. I don't know. That's speculation, of course. Please don't run out of here and pastor says it's doctrine. But there is a fifth reward. God says, I ain't going to tell you. Y'all get excited about that. I mean, Pastor Deb and I, at our age, you know, with birthday gifts and Christmas, we just go out and buy each, you know, what we want, because, you know, buying her cookie jars and clothes and stuff, you know, purple with red stripes and green stripes doesn't fit. So we go buy our own presents, basically. Right? That's how I had the Apple Watch. I said, yeah, I'm on Apple Watch. Okay, bought it. But you know what? I love it when she surprises me. God says, yeah. Yeah, you know about mansions. You know about crowns. You know about keys. You know about authority. I've told you those four things, but there's something else you don't know. And I ain't going to tell you till you get there. Moses said, I'm looking forward to my reward. And you can start the closing. The music. And when I get tired sometimes, you got to hear me. And when I'm poured out and there ain't nothing left and something comes to deal with it, it's like, can I keep going? Things I didn't prepare for. Things I didn't expect. Things knocking at my door I had no idea I'd ever have to face. I look forward to my reward. When all men leave and all men go, come and I seek Him whom my soul loveth. I look for Him whom I can't see. And a lot of times it's by night. And if I've settled into a bed of discouragement or a bed of tradition or a bed of yesterday's past, when I hear His voice, I get up. Because there's times I didn't get up. And He passed from me. And then I had to go to the watchman. I had to go, oh, where is God, Pastor? Where is God? You know, I had to do that. But I've learned now that He's hiding behind the lattice. He's there all the time. My greatest reward is not the five things in heaven. It's Jesus. At some point in eternity, I'm just going to walk just Him and me. Like I walk with Him now. People can go to their mansions, they can go get their crowns. But I'm going to say, Lord, can I just, me and you just walk a little bit together? Maybe that's the fifth reward. I'm going to walk with Jesus, just you and Him. What do you think about that? Lord, I don't have to say anything. I don't have to prove I'm spiritual. I don't have to tell you all that I did on the earth. Lord, can you just take a break from the two main rewards? Can we just, maybe afterwards, can we just, let's walk with you down those golden streets. I just want to stare at you. I just want to look at you. I just want to see the nail scar. I want to see the one I couldn't see. I want to behold the one that found me. I want to behold the one that healed me. I want to hold, I want to see you. And Lord, don't be surprised if I reach over and grab your hand. Can you imagine, folks? I'm not talking about a Disney fantasy movie here. This is going to happen. Can you imagine reaching over and grabbing the Savior's hand? See, that's my eternal reward. It's my reward. When we focus on that, we can get through anything. This life is temporary. It's not always fair. Sometimes there are things that greatly disturb us. But he said, I'm not going to leave you. See, I'm going to take hands of my Savior. And then I said, Lord, can I just walk with you for a while? And then after we've walked, I said, Lord, can I invite my family with me? Lord, can I invite my bishop, Bishop John? We're all together there, Jesus in the middle, and just giving God praise. That's my reward. Last scripture. If we're going to see him who's invisible, if we're going to keep focused on eternal rewards, we've got to do this. Looking unto Jesus. Look has to do with focus. Break your focus, you get discouraged. The thief is good at breaking your focus. He's been doing it for 6,000 years. He did it with Eve, broke her focus on the Word of God. She got into the sense and emotional realm. She got into logic rather into obedience. And because her focus was broken, she sinned. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. Aren't you glad he's going to finish it? Right now, Pastor Deb, our offices are all torn up. I'm in the conference room. I want to get it done. I don't like, you know, it's like all everything. How many have that problem? Stuff's out of order. You kind of, just a couple of you. Man, how's your homes? Okay. But I don't like things out of order, but sometimes they have to be for something else. Finisher of our faith, who for the what? Before him, joy. For the joy that was set before him. Now, he's not talking about the cross. The cross was not a joy. Who was the joy? Turn to somebody and say, you're the joy. I can't believe the joy set before him was just that he was going to be King of Kings and exalted above every other name. Because that had been self-imposed. So joy has nothing to do with the person. It has to do with someone else. And so the joy that was set before him, that's you and I. And because of that, he endured the cross. He endured it. You and I have to endure some things. But we look to our reward. Endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's waiting for you. He says, keep on going. Don't look at the times. Paul had revelation about the end times. There'd be terrible times. Men would be haters. Men would be lovers of themselves. So God gave us some warning signs. It's like on a highway, you're getting on this bridge out, you don't go there. There's signs. God's given us His Word as a sign so we don't get discouraged. Joy set before Him. He's waiting for you. Everything you do in the name of the Lord will be rewarded. A cup of cold water given to a prophet will be rewarded. Doing children's church in the nursery will be rewarded. Anything done in the name of the Lord. They don't always reward you with your business, but God rewards every faithful servant. God doesn't say, well, if you have a big crusade and 50,000 people come and get saved, I'll reward you. No, He says the small things. Cup of cold water. What you do in the house of God, the kingdom of God, is very significant because it's depositing things for your reward. Amen. And there's enough stuff to do, enough things to take care of for everybody to have something to do. You don't know, call the office. We'll find something for you. But don't just think that I'm going to be rewarded because I work a job. Tied into the kingdom. I'm working a job so I can have more finances to help the kingdom to do this so I can be available. How many want to hold His hand when you get to eternity? Say, Lord, there's no time, but for the first couple of miles here, I just don't want to say anything. I just kind of like, this is surreal. It's like, this is really happening. And so you go by this beautiful mirror because you hadn't seen yourself yet. So you're walking with Jesus, you go by this mirror, and man, you're going, whoa. I know it's kind of earthly, but it's like, I look like I'm 25 and 30 and perfect shape and no gray hairs. People have clinically died and come back. Did a real stories? There's no old in heaven. My mom had a dream and a vision 2 weeks after my dad died. She said, I had this dream and I saw your father. He received Christ just before he died. He looked like he was 25 again and it's full of life. I believe that. Huh? Now, some of you are younger, so that don't mean as much, you know. Some of us are a little older, and it means a whole lot. Hallelujah. I mean, you ought to be shouting, thank God. Don't have to do the hair. I used to use 5 minutes for men for about 10 years instead all the time because I was premature gray. But the thing is, it stopped working because I used it for 10 years. Now I have to use women's hair color, which you have to be on 40 minutes instead of... I have no idea why, but hair is hair, right? But you're going to look good in heaven. Not going to have to sleep. Eating is optional. I tell you, man, let's do this. I'm going to close. Let's do this. We all get there. We all get our rewards and walk with Jesus. Let's get together and see how many ribs we can eat without gaining weight, you know? Yes. I mean, you know, angels are going to be bringing it to us, and we're just going to have a time. Come on, let's stand up and give God a praise this morning. Amen. How many thank God for the Word? Eternal reward. Amen, amen, amen. Can't you just sense in your personal life, in the house of God, joy is rising. Freedom is rising. Things are dropping off. Things that tried to hold on to us in 2019 are gone. I always want you to remember that Pastor Deb and I love all of you. We feel committed to you. We'll help you as much as we can in any way. Because I'm looking forward to my reward too. How about you? Are you looking forward to that reward? If that's you, just close your eyes and lift your hands up to the Lord Jesus this morning. Say this with me, Lord Jesus, today I surrender my stewardship, my time, my talent, my finances, my ability to share, because I'm looking forward to my reward. Let this word govern my life. that I'm not here by coincidence. I'm a child of God. And I refuse to be called a child of Pharaoh's daughter. I am a king's kid. I will live like it, and I will act like it. And I will give you glory. So on that day, you will be my greatest reward. To hold your hand, to walk with you, to look into your eyes, to see your scars, and to see my God and my Savior. And I thank you today, in Jesus' name, amen. Give God.